On Friday, Donald Trump will be inaugurated as the 45th President of the United States. The next day, women plan to march in Washington, D.C. to promote women's rights, human rights, and respect for all. Some Alaskans will be there on the East Coast, but women are also organizing marches in Alaska towns and cities for the same day. What are their main concerns, and what is their action plan for the future? We'll find out when we discuss the March for Women and Human Rights today on Talk of Alaska.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
the 2017 statewide BP Teachers of Excellence program. Teacher nomination forms available at bpteachers.com. As it turns out, you don't need to wear a cape to save the community or a giant S on your chest to stand up for what's right. That's because the University of Alaska is working to build a better future for our state. Through education, the university is developing a skilled workforce with more teachers, engineers, and nurses to move Alaska forward. Join the university in leading the change Alaska needs. Visit drivechangeak.org to learn more. This message sponsored by the University of Alaska.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. At least 10 cities in Alaska are organizing marches for Saturday. In the studio with me are Anchorage organizers Samantha McKelly and Celeste Godfrey. Hi.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being here. And joining us from KUAC in Fairbanks is Janine Haney and also Jeanette Okinzik. Hello.
Hello.
So thanks so much for being available. We'll also hear from an organizer in Ketchikan, perhaps later in the show, and a few others may call in. You can also join the conversation. Are you planning a march in your community or planning to participate? What are your reasons for being involved? How will you work to bridge the divide between political factions in your community to work together in the future? You can call us statewide, 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. In Anchorage, the number is 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. So, Samantha and Celeste, the march has been criticized as just being sour grapes, that Hillary Clinton didn't win, and as a non-productive event that's all about Trump bashing. How do you respond to that? Who wants to take that on?
I'll Celeste. Go ahead and take it on. Sure, I think it started that way, that people were disappointed. I know for myself, I was disappointed, and I was frightened for my friends and family, and I think a lot of that is what kind of drove this. I think where it's at today, though, it has transformed into this really inclusive movement that it doesn't matter who you voted for on that day. It's about what you believe in, and do you believe in equality, and do you believe in human rights, and where do we go from here? And so I think there's different ways you can take this. You know, we had somebody comment recently that they saw this march as a positive step for the Trump administration to bring people together on the day after. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective on you know, a kind of a turn of events in a way. But, you know, one of the recent things that the National Committee has released on their website is the principles of unity. And that is huge as far as where we go from here with this movement. I think this has started a conversation amongst so many different groups of people, and it's allowing all of these different minority groups like the BLM movement and you know, our natives groups and you know, women, the ACLU and just women's rights groups, and all these different groups are coming together under, you know, one umbrella to say, you know, if we can get women's rights to start, it could potentially have the trickle down effect to affect all of these other minority groups for the better. And that's really the goal at this point. And so with these marches that are all happening on the very same day, around the same time as far as their time, you know, we're going to be behind everybody, which will be really exciting in the same breath. But, you know, what's really exciting is that this is a call to action. On that day, we're bringing so many different groups into this room. Like, you know, for instance, in Anchorage, we're having a rally at Willowa, and we're bringing our partners into the room to say, hey, do you want to be involved? Because you can be involved tomorrow.
You said something when you were first speaking about being afraid for your friends and family. What are your fears? What concerns you the most?
I would say I am concerned about, you know, in particular, one of my close friends is gay, and I fear for his rights. And I know that, you know, I'm not originally from Alaska. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. So I'm a bit of a transplant, but I've been here for a couple of years now. And, you know, this is my new home. This is my new community. And so this is why I became involved, because I thought, well, I'm not going anywhere. So I might as well, you know, lay down roots here. So that's where I got involved. But I'm afraid for his rights. And I know, especially in Utah, the LGBT rights was fought so hard in my home state, you know, with the Mormon Church and the state of California and the Supreme Court. And it makes me very emotional.
Let's give you a minute. Samantha, your thoughts on the criticism that initially surrounded this idea for the march.
Sure. I think if you set foot in pretty much any meeting that's happening worldwide about this, but especially in the U.S., we are not talking about Trump. That's not what this is about. I agree with Celeste that that was kind of an impetus for this. It was a wake-up call for a lot of us. But these issues are so much more than that. They reach so much farther. And I think, I mean, again, just echoing Celeste, we in our meetings are talking about proactive things we can do. This is not a revenge march. This is not a protest, really. This is a step forward, helping people in our communities find each other as allies, as people that believe in similar causes, in similar similar efforts that we want to see taking place in our community. And this is a way for everyone to come together. And I think that's really, really important. I was actually saying just at our last meeting, I've never marched before. This is totally new to me. But I really hope that we're going to see a lot of people like me out at this event in Anchorage across the state and across the nation and world, because this is a time where we need to be drawing in people that have not yet before been engaged in these kinds of issues. I think a big thing for me right now is healthcare and reproductive justice. It's looking pretty scary, and we need everyone to kind of come together to unite around some of these issues, because I do think that a lot of people are kind of in the same train of thought. We're here, and we just need to organize and make ourselves heard. And I think that is what this event is trying to do.
If you are just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska, and we are discussing the upcoming March for Women's Rights, for Human Rights, that's taking place not only in Washington, D.C., but across the nation. Cities are organizing, women are organizing marches in cities across the nation, and at least 10 cities in Alaska are also planning companion marches on Saturday. You can join our conversation at 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK, that's statewide, or in Anchorage, 550-8422, 550-8422. Let's check in with our KUAC Fairbanks guests. Janine Haney, your thoughts, did you want to add something about why you're getting involved in this march on Saturday, and your thoughts about any criticism that may have come your way because of it?
Well, I agree with what the girls in Anchorage said, but we're hoping that it can heal the divide through open communication between all the people that show up on Saturday and our local nonprofits that are going to be there and our speakers. That hopefully this will be a healing process.
Well, let's stick with you for a minute, Janine. What's the main plan in Fairbanks for Saturday? How will the march take place?
So we're going to start at 10, and we have a small marching path, and we've rented Raven Landing, which is right off, it's on Cal's and Airport Way, and so people can go in and warm up because it might be very cold that morning. And so we're going to march for about an hour, hour and a half. And then we're going to basically move inside. We have speakers lined up from all through our community. We have tables for nonprofits to talk about volunteer opportunities. And the Peace Choir is going to perform. And then a week later, after the event, we have a second part where we're going, anyone who wants to come and talk about what to do next and continue the conversation.
All right. Samantha, you mentioned when you and I were first talking about coming on this program that you were surprised by the election outcome and decided to look for ways to get involved. What did you mean by that, getting involved after the election? What prompted that thought?
I didn't really know what I wanted that to mean. I had been out of the country for 2 years. I came back 9 days before the election, and this isn't quite what I thought I'd be coming back to. I thought I was going to be coming back to Hillary Clinton, looking to become our president. So I was a little bit shaken and discouraged, and that night, I saw an old friend from Anchorage posted on Facebook about getting organized, getting involved, and I messaged her immediately, and I said, yes, I'm here. What are you doing? And she goes, actually, I'm in Ireland, but my sister's doing stuff. Contact my sister. So I did, and that led me to a Planned Parenthood meeting, which is where I met our state coordinator, Ashley, and she said, yep, we're having a meeting. Come on over. So that was how I got involved, and I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to be doing. I was looking for a group that had a kind of a purpose, you know, some very clear steps forward and something that I believed in. And I think, you know, Planned Parenthood was a good first step, definitely something I'm still involved with. And then, you know, this march has kind of become its own thing and hits on a lot of issues that I feel really passionately about. I've been really thankful for this group of women getting back into Anchorage and finding some new ties in my community. It's been fantastic.
When you mention Planned Parenthood, I think about all of the heated rhetoric that we've heard throughout the election, in the lead up. There's a big divide over sentiments toward Planned Parenthood and their services. How do you think you'll be able to take some of these hot button issues and do exactly what you've been talking about, which is try to create a greater sense of unity? The only way to get things done is in greater numbers. And so how do you think you can have that conversation with people who don't share your same thoughts of support for organizations like Planned Parenthood? Celeste?
Well, excuse me. I think, you know, in particular, what we're meeting against is, you know, people are coming into, you know, our online groups and asking, you know, what is it you're marching for? What's going on? And, you know, asking just the questions that you were having before. And, you know, my response to them is that, you know, the deeper you look into this movement, you're going to be able to find your own place. Now, you might not agree with, you know, all of the services that Planned Parenthood offers, but you might agree that, you know, our, for instance, our jail systems are overrun and that there's too many prisoners that we're taking in. You know what I mean? Like, I feel that there's a little bit that everybody can find within this broad scope that we're bringing to the table and find their own place with it. You know, if you have a challenge with Planned Parenthood, and you don't necessarily align with the fact that, you know, we believe, at least between my colleague and I, that reproductive rights are a huge issue and that they should be accessible to everybody, you know. And if you don't necessarily believe that, I think there's something else for you in this march is what I'm trying to say. But as far as Day Of, they are one of our biggest partners and biggest allies in our community right now. And they're going up against the, you know, Affordable Care Act trying to be removed. And so as far as calls to action, I'd say that's our most immediate one in our community in Anchorage in particular, or in Alaska in particular. And they're going to be present at our rally as far as information of how people can get involved the very next day. And right now, even you can go to their website and they're already making strides and you can, you know, be part of the conversation that they're having right now with, you know, DC and everything like that. So I don't think the call to action really starts on Saturday. I think it started already.
1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide. If you'd like to join our conversation, we're talking today about the women's and the march that's coming up on Saturday, both in Washington, D.C., across the country, and in Alaska. It's a march for women's rights and human rights and a broad spectrum of issues that will be championed along with the folks who are taking part in this. 1-800-478-8255 in Anchorage, 550-8422, 550-8422. And you can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. We're going to go to the phones. Sandra is in Homer and is a participant, possibly one of the organizers in Homer. Hi, Sandra.
Hi there.
Thanks so much for calling in. Tell us what's going to be happening in Homer on Saturday.
Well, we have a lot of similarities to your previous people. We are marching. We have an organized march that will start at one end of our main street here and march to the college. Then there will be a group photo, and then we will be going to the college for a two-hour session where we'll have some live streaming from Washington. We will have some speakers. We have tables set up with a lot of educational information for the community. So that's kind of our outline of what we're, how we've organized ours.
When you say table of information, what will you have there available?
We will have brochures on Planned Parenthood now. We have one on many health issues that affect the people in Alaska. We have one on women and economy, the history of economy of women. A number of health issues there. We have on the Affordable Care Act and that type of thing.
Finish up.
I was just saying, I think we have five tables set up with literature on them.
I know that you and I had discussed when I talked to you earlier that there's a group that stands on a corner every Sunday with signs. Tell us about that, Sandy.
That is correct.
What's the message there in the mission?
It's a peaceful group. It's a message. Well, you know, Homer is a very close community. And people really care about each other here. So the signs are respect, love, peace. So it's pretty much a peaceful demonstration. And they stand there for 1 hour from 12 to 1 every Sunday with their signs. And they're just nice, warm messages, actually.
How long has that been going on?
Oh, my goodness. I think they've been doing that since maybe November.
All right.
Since it started getting cold.
What this is a question really for all of you, both in Anchorage and Homer and Fairbanks. How has it been organizing in what is clearly a red state? More Alaskans voted for Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton. In D.C., it was the opposite, a lot of support for Hillary Clinton. Does it make your efforts here more difficult, the conversation more difficult? Who wants to tackle that? Janine, maybe we should go to you in Fairbanks for a moment.
We just have a lot of people asking questions because there is a lot of assumption that it's an anti-administration event. And so we just keep confirming everyone and explaining how this is, no matter what your cause, there's something that we can all agree on, and it's open to everyone. We've been actually surprised by the allies, the amount of support that we've had.
Are you, Celeste and Samantha, how's it been here in Anchorage? And are you concerned about interactions and how you'll deal with those?
You know, it has crossed our mind, mm-hmm. for sure. And it's definitely something that has been part of our planning process as far as how to keep everybody safe, how to keep everybody peaceful, to keep, of course, we can't control all of these outlying things. But, you know, for what it's worth, we have... we're going to be having trained peacekeepers within our group. Some will be actually, you know, have an armband saying that they are a peacekeeper, or, you know, we'll just be a trained peacekeeper amongst our community in the crowd. We also have police that will be crossing, helping us cross the street to get to Willowa. So we do have a lot of peacekeeper presence, if you will, the day of. Now, as far as any trolls on the internet or things like that, I've been really surprised that we really haven't. For what it's worth. If anything, people have just like Janine said, just really inquisitive more than anything else. And we've had some really interesting conversations on, you know, the Anchorage message board in regards to that. But they haven't, you know, the people that have been on the other side of the fence, let's say, have, I think, ended up a bit more open-minded by the end of the conversation.
All right. We're talking about the Women's March that will be taking place on Saturday. Thank you to Sandra and Homer. Did you have a final comment before we take another call?
I would just say that we are shocked by the number of people who... We have done flyers around town. We have done the newspaper. We've done a lot of word of mouth. We are really just happy at how many people are telling us. I'm sure there'll be well over 200 people. A lot of men are participating in this.
Awesome.
It's just a community activity that has snowballed, and we've had no opposition, at least to any of us, you know, that are doing the organizing. To date, it's all been very positive. It's been a great experience, really.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to go next to Gina, who is in Anchorage. Hi, Gina.
Hello.
Hello. So you have a comment about permits?
Oh, she's another one of our organizers in Anchorage.
All right.
No, I was just saying, if you had any questions about the permitting process or the fundraising, I would be, I told them that I would be able to answer those, because I had my hands pretty thick into those parts.
Is this a new effort for you, new territory for you to do things like this, Gina?
Oh, absolutely. I have a full-time job like the other ladies. We've got stuff we're normally doing. We're, you know, taking care of our families. I'm running a business. I've got a presentation I'm doing for my state chapter tonight. So I didn't think I had time for anything else.
It's interesting that there's a lot of people getting involved that have not been, Samantha mentioned she's never marched before. So the word feminist has been beaten up quite a bit in the last decade or so, which is puzzling to me. I don't really understand why that's become a negative thing to want women's rights
branding.
To be championed.
I think it's like anything else.
But yeah. Do you all feel like this is sort of a reinvigoration of feminism and in all of its positive connotations? Or how are you seeing this? Gina, maybe that's a question for you, since you're getting involved for the first time as well.
I think that maybe there is a section of society that is feeling threatened and are like they're losing rights. And there's been a big pendulum swing from that group of people feeling threatened and afraid. And it's coming back towards the direction of where I'm at, and I guess I've never called myself a feminist before. I just think that I am a person that works for social justice and that believes in liberty and justice for all people and not just myself. But I feel that people are again, that they felt threatened, and now the pendulum's coming back towards me, I guess, as a feminist, and me and the people I care about are feeling threatened. And the thing is, we're all on the same boat together. We don't need to fear each other. We need to work together to take care of each other. I think, to me, that's one of the most important things. It's no, we've got it wrong. We all need to be working together to take care of each other, because we all want the same things for ourselves and our families.
1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide. 1-800-478-8255 or 1-800-478-TALK. If you're calling in Anchorage, the number is 550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. You've all been talking a lot about concern for the rights of more than just women. It's called the Women's March, but men are also talking about taking part, showing support, are planning to march. What's the role for men here? And what concerns are there that affect people on a broader scale than just women's issues?
I think what's been really interesting to see, I'm kind of the social media coordinator for the state, and so I've been developing our Instagram and our Twitter followers and things like that. And one of the Twitter handles that I'm connected to is Men of Women's March. And you know, this, whoever is moderating this, thank you. I don't know who you are, but you're fantastic. And, you know, his whole message is that we're standing behind you and right beside you. And, you know, we're trying to help you get into the foreground and lift you up. And I think that's kind of the message as well, is that women have been, there's been a war against women for forever. And I think that with if we can put the focus on women first, the trickle, you know, women have a way of being able to take care of other people. And I think that can arch over into our political space as well. And I think that the women is just kind of the umbrella of that. But I think men are having a very important role in that, saying that they support what we do. They support our right to choose. They support, you know, whatever it is that they don't want to hold us back in any regard, right? They want to be, if anything, beside us or behind us, whatever that may be, to help lift up the message. And I think, you know, following him, he's gotten people to support him, like Mark Ruffalo and, you know, so many other athletes and things like that. He's got over like 2,000 followers now, and he started last week. And one of the messages that I was trying to get out was trying to see if, you know, our dear President Obama was going to show his support as well. So that's been something that's been retweeted quite a few times. So we'll see if that ends up the day of who shows up. But I think it's really interesting to see the male community kind of coming around us as well.
Janine in Fairbanks, what are you hearing? Are you also, are men interested in Fairbanks in supporting this?
They are. We get a lot of questions about, are men even welcome? And we're like, yes, this is led by women, but it's for everyone. So we have a lot of people posting on our Facebook that they're bringing their sons and their husbands. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, some of our speakers are male, and a lot of our volunteers now are male. So we're very excited to have everyone involved.
All right. Well, we're going to take another call. Thanks, Gina, for calling in. And we're going to go now to Byron, who is in Willow. Hi, Byron.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Do you have a question?
I just wanted to point out a couple of things. I think the war is against men now. And I don't support women's right to kill our babies. And men have no paternal rights in Alaska unless they're married to a woman and a woman says that they can keep their child. Otherwise, they just, you know, they give them the Catholic social services or, you know, have an abortion. And we forgot about the family unit here. And, you know, without an unwed parent, whether it be a mother or father, you know, well, actually it's just fathers that can't keep their babies, but they're automatically, they go up for adoption, and a father can't stop it. And this court does it, Save Alaska, and there's no avenue for a father to gain paternity, custody, and visitation of his unwed child if the mother decides to give him up for adoption or abortion. And, you know, I don't think that's right. And why are we having a woman's march? You know, if we're into social justice, then I think we should, you know, give everybody equal opportunity and footing. And that's about all I had to say for today.
Well, Byron, I would encourage you to take part in the march because it sounds like you also have issues.
You have things to say. You want to be involved, right? And
right.
You see something in your community that's not right.
Cause.
So have you gotten involved in your community?
Okay.
No, I'm asking you, have you gotten involved in your community, Byron? Have you been involved with the legislator?
Community, if we're all on equal footing.
Yeah,
that's,
sure, exactly.
That's the idea.
Exactly,
okay,
that's the idea.
Let's not fight about this on the phone. Thank you for the call, Byron. I would encourage Byron and others to get involved and also to champion the rights that they feel like they are not being heard enough.
Exactly.
He's expressing frustration over parental rights as a father. And
totally valid.
It's absolutely valid. Men should certainly have access to their children and should have the right to make decisions in that regard about their children. So it would be good to get involved in and also march for those things. Let's go back to the phones again, and let's go to Dolly in Anchorage. Dolly is in Anchorage and has some questions on the event. Hi, Dolly.
Hi. So I'm not a real tech-savvy person, and I have had a very difficult time finding out specific details about the march. I go on Facebook, and it's very hard to find the Alaska Women's. A lot of it is for the Washington group going. So So if you could probably give some details, I'd really appreciate it, because I am going to march, but I would like to kind of have a little bit better knowledge of, you know, the timing of things and what is the intention of going to happen. And it sounds like there's going to be an inside with talks. So if you could maybe do that, I'd really appreciate it.
Sure. Samantha, do you want to take that on? I know that there's a web presence and a Facebook page.
There is a web presence.
Dolly,
and
no.
We're so excited that you're going to be marching with us, Dolly. So we will be starting at 10:30 this Saturday, the 21st, down on the Park Strip, the Delaney Park Strip. We'll be right near I Street is where we're going to be gathering. But we're going to have
Anchorage March.
Yes, for Anchorage. We're going to have a stage and speakers, and there's going to be over 1,000 of us. So you will not miss us. Bring your posters. Be ready to chant with us. We're really excited.
Bring your hand warmers. Bring your,
yeah, please bundle up. We're gonna have some speakers and our MCs at the Park Strip. We will have some events there, and then we will be marching around the Park Strip, and then eventually down F Street to Willowa, where we're gonna move inside, hopefully around
restaurant.
Noon. Yeah, to the Willowa restaurant. We're moving inside about noon, and we're gonna have a bunch more speakers. We have some musical guests, and then we will also be doing some tabling with partner organizations in Anchorage like the ACLU, YWCA Alaska, Planned Parenthood, and a lot more. So we should be wrapping up at Willowa around 2, and we just think it's going to be a fantastic event, and we can't wait to see you there.
All right. Well, I hope that answered your questions, Dolly. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will take more calls and your questions as we discuss the Women's March that's coming up on Saturday as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Northern Air Cargo, providing year-round transportation of all types of freight, from vehicles and oversized equipment to small packages for corporations or small business. Northern Air Cargo, serving Alaska since 1956.
If you're a rural Alaska resident, consider applying for a seat on the Federal Subsistence Regional Advisory Council by Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Applicants with knowledge of regional subsistence uses, customs, and traditions are needed. Council meetings serve as a forum for subsistence management. More at 1-800-478-1456. This message sponsored by your Federal Subsistence Board and the U.S. Departments of the Interior and Agriculture.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are discussing the march that is happening on Saturday. It's being called a Women's March and a Human Rights March, but certainly the organizers are inviting all folks to participate, men, women, children, and it's a much broader effort than just women's rights, although I shouldn't say just women's rights, because that's a very important issue. I have an email from Karen who says, I agree, this is not a protest with regard to the new administration, mainly because the new administration has not given us any indication of what their position is regarding women's issues. And I don't mean just health care, but sexual assault, domestic violence, jobs, retirement, and child care. It's our duty to make sure this new administration understands these are important and need to be addressed. And I think that's exactly what the march is about. Also, someone called in earlier, and they'll be also hosting a march in Talkeetna at 1:30, and they wanted to get the word out about that. There's a march also in Haines. We're getting emails from people around the state, and so there's certainly people all across the state.
If you're organizing in these small groups, please email me so I can put you on our state website, because I have no idea how to get a hold of you.
Well, we're going to hear from another organizer right now. Tracy is in Kotzebue. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
Hi. Oh,
how are you?
So what's happening in Kotzebue on Saturday?
So we are having a very informal, very positive, everybody welcome march that is going to start at 4:15, because it's a work day for a lot of people. And we're going to meet at the Crowley Dock area, and we're going to walk down Shore Ave, and then we're going to end by the Bayside, where people could continue to go inside and gather and talk about how we want to move forward as communities and just in a positive way and support each other. And I think as communities become more positive and we support each other in a positive way, then our country can continue to move forward in a positive way.
So as we're hearing from Tracy and Kotzebue and the folks that have emailed about Talkeetna and Haines, and we have another caller on the line waiting to come on that's an organizer in Juneau. We've got Janine and also Jeanette in Fairbanks, and both of you, Celeste and Samantha, here in the Anchorage studio. So it's clear that this is a statewide effort. How will you go about kind of collecting all of what is potentially a big subscriber list or a call to action list for the future? What's the plan for aggregating all those names and contacts?
You know, to be completely honest, I think National's having the same problem. I think we're all, you know, so geared up for Saturday that as far as that list is concerned, it's not something we want to do away with by any stretch of the imagination. We want to, you know, keep this community alive and going. And I think that just becomes these smaller groups, right, with our partners and how they get involved from there. But I definitely believe that, you know, this is something that we'd like to create a community page, you know, for each community or, you know, just for even the state so that everybody can come together and share their different events. Because let's be honest, this won't be the only march that we see during this administration. It won't. And I hope it won't. And I hope that people continue to come together to show their solidarity. And if anything, I really, really hope that everybody buys one of the Women's March t-shirts and shows up to their their, you know, local city hall meetings, to any sort of meeting where they can be a physical presence and they can literally just show up in their t-shirt and it can be known that they are part of the movement and that they're watching the, you know, things that are happening, and their voice is going to be heard. And they're going to be there.
Janine, I want to ask you about what the organization efforts are in Fairbanks, and then I want to get back to this issue of T-shirts and other things. So, Janine, how are you organizing to keep this going in the future?
So, at our indoor part of the day, we will be collecting emails and contact information at the door. And we will also be handing out little flyers that say, you know, keep the conversation going and inviting people to another meeting that we're going to have a week later. And the Fairbanks Activist Forum, we're both involved in this, and they're going to be hosting that meeting, and we're just going to have a ongoing conversation. We're talking about having monthly meetings and then using that email group to get out the word about the projects that we want to engage in.
Cool. All right. That sounds really organized.
Yeah. Far more.
We had a
volunteer.
You guys can
who wants to help us with that?
Pay attention, you guys. You can learn something.
Yeah.
We had an email from Betsy who wants us to know that Bethel is also hosting an event at noon starting at the Cultural Center. They'll be marching from there. And I want to get back to this issue of T-shirts and hats and things. There was an email that says, handcrafters have been knitting and sewing hats for marchers, pink for solidarity. We hope to cover all heads. There's a rumored nationwide shortage of pink yarn.
Yes.
So there was an editorial in columnist in the Washington Post, Petula Dvorak, who was criticizing this idea of pink hats, saying that it's silly. She says it will distract people from the important issues that need to be highlighted. What about here? You're talking about T-shirts. What are your thoughts about the pink hat thing? And are you concerned that some symbols might distract people from the important message that you're trying to get out?
I think you're only distracted if you're not educated enough on the issues. I think if you're educated on the issues, the hat's not a distraction. I don't think the T-shirt's a distraction. I think if you're, again, educated on the issues, especially locally, that just means to me that you recognize something in somebody else that they're also fighting for the same cause. That's what that T-shirt means to me. That's what that hat means to me. I wear my hat that was gifted to me by one of our organizers who's making felt hats, which is much easier than doing the yarn one, ladies. 11 inches of felt for you. But for what it's worth, you know, I see it as a talisman. I see it as something that can represent the movement, that it's a brand. It's like wearing Nike. It's like wearing Adidas. It's like doing any of those things. It's a brand. We're developing a brand, a movement. And this movement, you know, stands for a lot of things. And sure, that can get very confusing. But again, if you're educated on the issues, I think that you're going to know your place in this movement, and you're going to see that as something other than a distraction.
Samantha.
I think what we keep coming back to a lot with this movement is that this is a movement of unity. And so these t-shirts and these hats are a symbol of unity. There might be people in your community that you don't know agree with you on a lot of these issues, or strangers. I was at a breakaway meeting for our march on Friday, and we had a poster for the event on the table because we were meeting an individual we'd never met before. And we had a couple people come up to us and go, oh my gosh, we're going to be there. We're so excited. We didn't know who these people were. They recognized our information. And so this is a really powerful way of recognizing other allies in our communities that we can not only meet on a personal level, but begin to network with and try to make some positive change.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Eric is in Sitka. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to say that I have been inspired by the organization and the effort that women, we didn't end up with a woman president, but what happened is the election and the loss has inspired women around this country to organize in a way that I have never seen before. And here in Sitka, Kathy Inga-Lorena has organized the march starting at 3 p.m. at the Crescent Harbor Shelter downtown around our beautiful Russian church, and then back to the Sea House.
How cool.
At the Episcopal home. And the enthusiasm and the positivity for the march has been infectious. And I just want to say I'm just so impressed and happy to be that, you know, they invited me and other men to participate. But we're definitely being supportive. Women are leading this movement, which has grown beyond anything that any of us saw coming last November.
Yeah.
So thank you to all the women in Alaska in all these communities who are organizing these marches, this march toward unity and solidarity and equality. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for being such a strong supporter.
Thanks for the call, Eric. It's good to hear from Sitka. We've heard from lots of communities. Now we're going to go back to the phones and go to Juneau. Rebecca is in Juneau. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Hi.
We're busy. Hi, girls. We're busy working and getting things organized here. We're going to be meeting at 9 a.m. at the Capitol steps in Juneau, and we are expecting probably 500 people, if not more.
Wow.
Which is such a bigger turnout than I ever could have possibly thought, and it's very exciting. And we're having the same sort of show of support from male allies, which has been really awesome and really empowering to see that you know, feminism and gender roles is not just a women's issue. And sort of to address that question from earlier is something that I didn't think was brought up is we call it, I work with AWARE and we're the ones hosting it. And AWARE is a women's shelter in town. But we talk a lot about the man box and kind of the restrictions that are put on men with gender roles and without, you know, where they're taught not to express themselves and other than with anger, and that leads to a lot of problems. And, you know, it's, I think that's a big part of feminism is that it's for everybody. It's just about all of us being on equal footing.
All right, Rebecca, is there anything you'd want folks to know in particular about what will be going on after the event in Juneau, after the march? What's your plan for the future?
We are also doing a post-march sort of networking rally event that's indoors. It'll be at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. So that's, we're marching from the Capitol down to the Jack. And there's going to be, I've had 20 organizations so far that are going to be doing tables at the event. And it's a way to get you involved with nonprofits. We have someone from the union for the state that's going to be there to talk about different women's positions and such that are available in the union and ways they can help out. It's going to be a big event, lots of ways to mobilize and move forward. So we're really excited.
Okay, well, thanks so much for the call. We are going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll take more calls and your questions about the march that's shaping up across the state and across the nation for Saturday as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
Condor Airlines, with nonstop service from Anchorage and Fairbanks to Germany and beyond. More information available on condor.com. Condor, born to fly.
Alaska's Tobacco Quitline reminds you that 88% of Alaskans don't allow smoking in their home. A smoke-free environment helps prepare kids for a healthier life and a future free from tobacco. And it makes good economic sense. Secondhand smoke damages property, decreasing its value. Exposure to its toxins leads to disease and increased medical costs. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW or enroll online at AlaskaQuitline.com. This message sponsored by Alaska Tobacco Quitline.
All right, welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We're discussing the march that's going to be taking place on Saturday, and we're going to go now to Ketchikan. We've been traveling all over the state through the magic of radio today. We're going to Ketchikan now. Mary, are you there?
Hello, Alaska. Ketchikan's the first city. We have got it all planned. We're opening our 10 o'clock program with Shauna Lee singing the national anthem. We've got the Coast Guard coming in with the Color Guard, a couple of really good community speakers opening up the program. Staying flexible with the people and the crowd, I fully understand there's happy people there and there's going to be some frustrated people there. So we're letting it all sort of work out through its energies. We're promoting the signs in advance. We'll also have a sign table ready for people to do it right then and there. Then we are planning to walk the pier. The harbor has given us piers 1, 2, and 3, so if anyone knows anything about cruise ships, we've got 3,000 feet of rally space to gather the people and do our protest, our chants, and work through the energy there. Come 11:30-ish, I've got a group photograph staged. I'm going to have some flyovers with float planes, whoever can get up in the air and take a flyover, and also on the ground for a group photograph. Also, we're taking the position of Women's March in Washington has been very helpful with giving us coordinators what to do, and they're telling us to get prepared and be ready for Monday morning, that once the air has gone out and people are back to work as usual on Monday, where do we go from here? So we're planning on having a individual slip of paper for that person to write their name, telephone, email, and the genres, the different categories, youth, men's issues, women's issues, whatever, and things that they want to stay in contact with. And that's going to be a helpful resource as we pass it along to Ketchikan's nonprofits, support groups, and so on, that we take the position, if not me, then who? If not now, then when? And we've got to be able to take the momentum of Saturday into Monday, like the rest of the cities are thinking of doing, and getting these people committed, because if you're going to be involved, so be it, and we want that name and address. We're also going to be prepared with names and email links of what's out there on the internet, because we do think there are people who want to work from their home to support these groups, and so we will have that resource list ready for whoever wants to interact on the social media. So,
all right,
we're planning on wrapping this up. We also are going to be streaming from Washington. We're very excited to be part of Washington's activities. However, Alaska is 4 hours behind, so when it's 8 a.m. and we're waking up, they're right in the middle of their program, but we will have that TV monitor going for people to watch.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
Anchorage.
Yes, thanks so much, Mary, for the rundown of events in Ketchikan, Piers 1, 2, and 3. And it sounds like they have a lot of organization. And the note about the Monday morning is important. If people want to do something beyond just a march on Saturday, they're going to have to stay organized into the future. And it sounds like that's what a lot of organizers are discussing is how to keep those strengths in numbers going forward. We'll go back to the phones. Mark is in Anchorage. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. This is Mark Butler in Barnard in West Anchorage, and I just wanted you to know that there are many men planning to attend, those with women partners who are attending and those who aren't, and I know a number of them. We're planning to march, or to walk, I should say, from Barnard up to the Park Strip to avoid congestion.
Oh, cool.
And participate and come home. I do want to mention, if I may, to I believe it was Brian or from Willow that called in to talk about male parental rights. I think he was obviously in pain, and he shared that with us. I think that was very brave of him to do. Though I don't share his belief on the abortion issue, I certainly think that he had some valid points, and I hope that he can, or others like him can, take those issues to the forefront, just like women and those of us who support women are doing this weekend. So thank you, Brian, for calling in. I thought that was pretty brave.
Well, you Definitely. Know, Mark, you raise an important issue that there's a lot of there's pain, as you said, and anger and division. And the only way to overcome that is for people to try to see beyond their anger and come out and share their concerns for the future if they really want to have impact and affect change. If that's what the idea is, then you can't just be angry. You've got to figure out how to channel that. I wanted to ask a couple questions about some of the issues that are...
Thank you, Mark.
We look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Thank you so much.
And I want to get some questions in about issues that are particular to Alaska. There's a lot of common struggles that women, children, immigrants, people of color, men, all people face in the country. But there are particular issues, especially for women in Alaska. As you're, I'm sure, well aware, we have the dubious distinction of being at the top of the list for decades when it comes to sexual assault and domestic violence and some really terrible statistics in our state. The rate of pay for women is lower across the nation, but in Alaska particularly so. I think it's 67 cents on a dollar as opposed to the national average. It's 83 or something like that. So the YWCA is releasing a report on that very issue tomorrow.
One of our partners as well.
What's envisioned, and I'll throw this question to Janine after I hear from you as well, but what do you envision about the issues that are particular for Alaska, to focus in on those, because there's going to be a lot of people kind of carrying the water for the national issues in Washington, D.C. and in other states. But in Alaska, we have some particular problems here that certainly need to be addressed. And has there been thought put into that idea about looking at these issues that are so huge in our state? Samantha.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been trying extremely hard to get a fantastic list of local speakers, and I think we've been able to do that. Both men and women. We're really excited to be highlighting Liz Medicine Crow, who of course is president and CEO of First Alaskans Institute, as well as Larry Merkulieff. So I think we're really trying to hit home on some indigenous rights issues and Native Alaskans issues, and we're excited for them to take those two topics away and to talk to us about those things. Of course, there are a few places in the world that you're going to see climate change in action, like you do here in Alaska. And I know we have some really enthusiastic people that will be tabling with us to talk about these things.
Yes, tabling with us. Yeah.
So we do. We have these local issues, and we're trying to find this balance of talking about our local issues here in the state, while still tying in with all the national issues, which of course still affect us here. Mm. And it's, you know, it's a lot to take on. Our first planning meeting was less than a month ago. So we're doing what we can in an extremely tight timeline to highlight all of these issues. And I think so far we've received excellent feedback.
I know
on all
in
of
particular
this.
One of our speakers, Tiffany Hall, she's the chair of Recover Alaska. She's definitely going to be bringing issues of alcoholism to the table. And, you know, I think that's kind of fuels the monster on women being assaulted and, you know, rape and, you know, things of that nature. And so I think if we're able to not only just deal with that monster, but we're trying to deal with where it comes from, then we can, you know, affect change across the board. So I think having people like Tiffany involved who can speak on that, and then we have, you know, Liz Medicine Crow who can speak on that. You know, we're trying to, we have quite a extensive list of speakers, over 11 that are going to be joining us that day that are going to hit on Alaskan issues that also hit on the principles of unity in national.
Let's go to Janine quickly. We only have a couple minutes left, and I'd like to get a comment in from a couple emails too. So Janine, what's the plan for tackling Alaska-specific issues in Fairbanks?
Well, that's one of the reasons that we wanted to have a march here in Fairbanks rather than traveling to D.C. so that we could focus on our own community and build communication and a community here. And when we have our follow-up conversations with the Fairbanks Activist Forum, that way we can, as a group, pick issues that are really important to us locally and make an action plan.
All right. Well, we're probably not going to get to the other callers, but we had an organizer on from Sitka and Michelle in Soldotna, who is also organizing an event down there. But I wanted to get to this email comment that was critical, a bit critical. Rich in Sitka says, I agree with the goals of the march, but was appalled by the attitude of one of the guests when asked if pink hats were a distraction. She took the haughty attitude. Well, it will not be a distraction for people who understand the issues. He says, this is why Democrats lose elections. They take that attitude. To win, you need to reach people who do not understand the issues as you do. You need to look at the people you need to convince and try to communicate from their point of view, not yours. He says, people opposed to the movement latch onto any little thing to discredit the movement.
Sure.
So his comment about understanding the issues, what do you say in response to that, Celeste?
I say, you know, I would love to see anybody who does not feel like they understand the movement to come and join us on that day and, you know, be part of it. Show up and see for yourself. And I think that's the empirical evidence of anything, right? You've got to show up and see for yourself. And I think that's the best education you can have. Maybe I was a little short in that in that reply. But
I actually was going to call you on that myself.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah,
that Rich
hey, I'm down for it. And I think that you're right. You've got to get down to their level. You've got to get in their community. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to do as well. Is we're trying to bring these.
We're gonna have to wrap up. Thanks so much to my guests here and in Fairbanks. There's links at our website.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by
Wells Fargo, with over 13,000 ATMs and more than 6,000 branches coast to coast. For a branch location near you, visit wellsfargo.com.
And by
Arctic Wire Rope and Supply, now distributing Boss Industrial Log Splitters, stocking gas and electric up to 34 ton. On the web at arcticwirerope.com. Support for Alaska Public Media's Energy News Desk comes from Bettisworth North, Architects and Planners, and the Atwood Foundation.
The University of Alaska Southeast is open for business to all Alaskans. 2017 is your year to finish a degree and increase your earning power with online courses in business, accounting, and management. Explore the options online at uas.alaska.edu/SOM. This message sponsored by UAS. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.